Hi there. I'm Duarte Geraldino, the Deputy Managing Business Editor at Al Jazeera Digital. You're listening to The Takeaway. Tanzina Vega is off. And I'm talking with you from my home in Manhattan because I'm practicing social distancing. The Takeaway is going to stay here for you, broadcasting live, even though much of our production team is working from home now. And you should keep taking steps to protect yourself and your family in this difficult time. COVID-19 cases in the U.S. keep rising, and the epicenter of the American outbreak is right outside my door here in New York City. Millions of us in the U.S. are living under shelter-in-place orders by now. And on Wednesday, the Senate agreed to a bipartisan $2 trillion package with help for people who lose their jobs and for numerous corporations that are now in financial trouble. But today, we go south to Latin America. The reported number of COVID-19 cases there is so far low. But not all governments are taking the drastic precautions needed to contain the virus. Some Latin American leaders don't seem to be taking the risks very seriously. On March 14, for example, Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, posted a video of himself hugging and kissing supporters. Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, called the coronavirus, quote, a little flu. But throughout Latin America, the coronavirus could have a devastating impact. Many countries there are struggling economically and their healthcare systems are strained. All that while unpopular leaders are fighting to gain the trust of their citizens. Benjamin Gadan is deputy director of the Wilson Center's Latin American program. He was also director for South America on the National Security Council under President Obama. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Greetings.
Also with us is Natalie Alcoba. She is a journalist in Argentina covering the coronavirus for Al Jazeera. Welcome to The Takeaway, Natalie.
Hello.
So, Benjamin, if we can put COVID-19 into Latin America's broader economic and political context, how are people there feeling about their economy and their government as the virus is hitting the region?
It comes for Latin America at a particularly inconvenient economic moment. I mean, this is not good for any economy on earth, but Latin America had already been experiencing an extraordinarily slow economic moment before COVID-19. It was a moment of budget cuts, of high debt, and a region that was hardly expected to grow this year, perhaps 1.2%. Now it's going to see a contraction region-wide of around the same amount with negative growth in all the big economies, including Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico.
If we could focus on Brazil and Mexico for a second, how are the region's biggest economies actually responding to this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why the economic vulnerabilities are so significant at this point is there's very little fiscal ammunition to direct at stimulus measures. So you have a region that, for example, in 2008, at the last global economic slowdown, was really riding high and had space in its budgets, thanks to high commodity prices worldwide, to be able to respond and stimulate economic activity. Right now, the countries, as I said, have very high debt, very tight budgets. We're in a process of austerity in many places before COVID-19. And so they really don't have anything in the cupboard to turn to in order to rescue economies that are really on edge right now.
I can imagine it's being used as a political tool. Did Brazil's president go so far as to call the virus essentially a trick being used by his political foes in the media? Do I understand that correctly?
Bizarrely, the leaders of Mexico and Brazil, the two most important economies in the region, have been very slow to take the COVID-19 virus seriously. And people are reacting. In Brazil right now, those who are in quarantine head out into their balconies nightly to criticize Jair Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil. The Mexican president has continued to embrace types of economic activity that really run counter to public health guidance at this moment. That'll have economic consequences, but also severe public health consequences in those very important countries in the region.
Natalie, is Argentina acting any differently?
Yeah, I think in sharp contrast to Brazil and Mexico, Argentina has been moving quite quickly in the last little while. I mean, the picture has changed fairly dramatically from a government standpoint over the span of a week. It went from warning people who are over the age of 65 not to go outside, imposing mandatory quarantine for people who had traveled, shutting borders, shutting schools, to a few days ago taking the extraordinary step of ordering a mandatory quarantine for the country. I mean, you can go outside if you want to buy groceries, if you need to go to the pharmacy for essentials. Of course, essential services, people who work in healthcare, the police, the military, they're still able to work. But other than that, we're all indoors. And the president has been very, very firm on this, talking about how they are necessary measures to try to gain some, buy some time for Argentina as it tries to bolster its healthcare system to be ready to respond to something that may be worse.
Duarte, if I could, Argentina, it's pretty remarkable its capacity to take these steps, which, you know, strangle economic activity in the economy that's arguably the most vulnerable in the entire region. So, I mean, just hats off to the public health folks in the government in Argentina who've been willing to take steps that, you know, really exacerbate an economic crisis that predated the coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the economy has been struggling severely for a while now here. Unemployment up, poverty up, all of this is going to make that worse, especially the fact that, you know, we're forced to be indoors for several weeks. The president, Alberto Fernandez, has pulled different levers in terms of whether or not it's giving financial support. It's mobilizing the military to build emergency hospitals. They're also making antibacterial gel and equipment for healthcare staff. But without a doubt, it's going to take its toll. And in the economic context, you know, Fernandez has said to creditors that are, you know, part of this also ongoing issue that Argentina has, which is that it's on the verge of a default. It's told creditors that they're just going to have to wait to get paid for several years.
And Natalie, the issue of having cash in Argentina is big right now because we have inflation, we have a lot of economic turmoil. Do people have enough cash to stock up for food to stay quarantined?
I mean, that's an excellent question. I mean, I think the government is recognizing, there's people that don't. I think that's the reality of it. And the government is recognizing that with different measures. I mean, yesterday they announced that they would be issuing a one-time payment, or at least a payment at the start in April, of 10,000 pesos for people who work as independent contractors or who work in the informal economy here in Argentina, which is a huge segment of the workforce. 10,000 pesos, it's about $150 US. I mean, it's meant to try to bridge the gap, because the reality is that we don't know how long the quarantine is going to be in place, although they've said it until March 31st. There's already talk that it's going to be extended. They're palliative measures, right? Like, they're trying to give people a little bit of a financial lifeline in the meantime.
And you mentioned the quarantine, Natalie. How is the government actually enforcing that quarantine?
Right. I mean, it's taking it quite seriously. So it is a mandatory quarantine, and it is a mandatory quarantine that, if violated, comes with potential prison term. So you can be charged with a crime, which is ignoring rules that would propagate an epidemic. And that comes with anywhere from 6 months to 2 years in jail. And enforcement is intense on the street. There's road checks, police, law enforcement across the country are stopping people who are on the street at this time and asking them why. And if they're people that are able to be on the street, that's one thing. But if they're not, then they're detaining them, and essentially they're placing them under house arrest. And although, I mean, without a doubt, the vast majority of people in Argentina are complying with the quarantine, there are lots of people who are not. I mean, in the first 24 hours, the numbers from the government was that there were over 3,000 people who had been detained for violating the quarantine.
Benjamin, as a whole, you hear what is happening in Argentina, and I have issues about how you detain people given a situation with infectious disease and whether they were too close together. But that question aside, how is Latin America's healthcare system equipped to handle a crisis like the coronavirus?
In many parts of Latin America, the health systems were already overwhelmed by the general needs of the public before the coronavirus has imposed demands upon medical professionals and upon the facilities themselves. In Latin America, you had about 2 hospital beds for every 1,000 Latin Americans, compared to 6 that you'd find in Europe, which, as you've seen in places like Italy, also doesn't have the capacity. You also have limitations on the ability to acquire ventilators, respirators, masks. Countries that can produce them are not exporting them, and Latin America doesn't have the manufacturing wherewithal to be able to supply itself with those critical assets. So it's a very difficult situation. It's more acute in the poorest countries in the region, or those already in crisis. I think about Haiti, for example, northern Central America. Venezuela will probably be least equipped. It's in the middle of an economic and political meltdown that has lasted for years and sent 5 million Venezuelan refugees outside the country. That creates two problems. At home in Venezuela, the hospitals barely have enough sanitizer within the hospitals themselves to be able to safely operate. And now think about the health burdens on places like Colombia next door that has had to absorb more than 1.5 million Venezuelan refugees with already a very difficult healthcare profile, and now is going to see this population subject to, you know, risks from coronavirus. So it's a pretty severe situation, Duarte. And again, this is a region that already was not up to the task of meeting the basic healthcare needs of its populations before this pandemic.
Is there something about unique about South America that the rest of the world is not getting that makes it in any way more vulnerable or would make its response to the virus unique?
Look, in terms of, you know, risk factors, I think what South America faces has a lot to do with poverty and inequality. This is a region where, you know, different than Northern Central America, which Americans hear a lot about because of migration, doesn't suffer from these extraordinary levels of gang violence and of poverty, as you see in Haiti and you see in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So people may think these are more prosperous societies that, number one, have the wherewithal to provide medical care, and number two, have, again, government resources and large middle-class populations that can weather this pandemic. The reality is these are societies with enormous levels of poverty, income inequality, and informal workers. Latin America in general has nearly half of its workers in the informal sector. It's a region with hugely overcrowded prisons that can be a vector for the spread of this virus. And again, it's a region where people who are living, working informally and living in these slums are at extraordinary risk. It's also a place, as I mentioned earlier, where the public health system, though universally accessible, is really inadequate even in the best of times. So I think, you know, what people should know about South America is that, contrary maybe to the image of Buenos Aires and Rio as places that attract American tourists and are relatively prosperous for the developing world, in fact, have extraordinary levels of inequality and poverty that elevate the risk of a rapid spread of this virus.
Natalie?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo a lot of what Benjamin said. I think in the case of Argentina, it's been notable to see how quickly the government has been trying to get ahead of what's coming. I think there's an acknowledgement that it's at a disadvantage infrastructurally, without question, economically, in terms of inequality, all of those things. And so as a result, I think you've really seen some decisive action from the government to throw whatever it can at the problem and to just try to be as best prepared as it can, knowing that it's facing a difficult situation.
Thank you so much. Benjamin Gadan is the Deputy Director of the Wilson Center's Latin American Program, and L.A. Alcoba has been covering the coronavirus outbreak for Al Jazeera from Argentina. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.